Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I am the nation.
Consummate co-host Mr. Robert Kaplan on the line. But before we bring Robert on, of course, I started out with the Ron Paul Revolution song. I just love the song, but I think there's some politics that we want to cover tonight. And everyone knows, it's no secret, I've been a Ron Paul supporter since before Patriot Families was even devised. And I wanted to play a couple of clips for you that I've run across in the last day or two. And two of these clips are going to be from a news report. And then, all three of them actually are from news reports. Let me rephrase that or restate that. But I want you to understand what is going on. Now, in Nevada, as many of you probably are aware, if you've followed my show, Ron Paul had an enormous landslide victory in the state of Nevada, in the Nevada GOP, as far as seating delegates and also taking control of the hierarchy within the Nevada state GOP party. That being said, the national GOP chairman's attorney sent a nasty letter to the state GOP in Nevada threatening to throw out all of the delegates and all the representation of Nevada at the national convention if they didn't toe the line and vote for Mitt Romney. And so that's where this story picks up, and I'm going to play that clip right now.
I got bad news for you, Blunt. The entire political party.
Oops, that is the wrong clip.
Delegation of the National Convention said John R. Phillip Jr., the chief counsel for the RNC, in a letter obtained by the Las Vegas Sun showing their intention to block the delegation in hopes that it would stop any kind of mass Ron Paul movement there. Meanwhile, the head of Ron Paul's campaign in Nevada, Carl Bunce, rebutted all this, saying the strategy is well within the rules. It's ridiculous. It's nothing more than a veiled threat, according to Bunce, who went on to say, you can't come in seventh inning and say we're going to change the rules here. The Romney campaign advisor has come in and give you a loyalty test on who you support before you can go to bat. This is tyranny. If you can come in and change the rules whenever you want, that's not a republic. That's tyranny. Well, I got bad news for you, Blunt. The entire political party structure is part of the tyranny. We weren't supposed to have political parties in this country. They're not American. They work against our democratic traditions. They weaken our republic. We're not supposed to be loyal to these political parties. I think it's great what the Ron Paul delegates have achieved thus far in so many states. I hope they continue their efforts. They should not stop short of total chaos, of course, nonviolent, peaceful chaos. At the Republican convention, there's nothing to back with Mitt Romney. He's just an Obama light. He pushed for the same health care system. He also signed the anti-assault weapons bans things in Massachusetts and so many other platform positions. The Ron Paul people should voice their displeasure with the same old candidates, the same old tired false opponents inside this party system, and back Ron Paul all the way. Our country's going down the tubes anyway. At that point, I will bring you to our quote of the day. It's from Dwight D. Eisenhower, when from his inaugural speech in 1953, Americans, indeed, all freemen, remember that in the final choice, a soldier's pack is not so heavy a burden as a prisoner's chains. Dwight D. Eisenhower.
All right. So there you have one report about the goings-on in Nevada. Now, I want to take exception with the reporter's use of words. One, when he calls for chaos at the national convention. Make no mistake, chaos is not what we need. We have enough of that already. Now, perhaps that was just a poor choice of words, or perhaps he's really hoping for some chaos during our convention. I hope that it's just a poor choice of words. The other is the part where he declares, you know, our country's going down the tubes already, so what the hell, we might as well support Ron Paul. I think we should support Ron Paul on principle, not because our country is going down the tubes. The country was on its way down those tubes long before Ron Paul came on the scene. And just because we're in a crisis, that's not the best reason to be supporting Dr. Paul. Robert, what did you think of that little clip?
Not surprising. It's just not surprising at all, Ron Golden. I don't, you know. Las Vegas saw the light because they don't like Harry Reid.
Well, you know, Vegas saw the light the last time around in 2008.
And I know.
A lot of people don't know this, but during the 2008 GOP convention, they turned the power off to the building. During the convention, one of the good old boys network went back and threw the main breaker to kill power to the entire building. And the reason they did that was they saw that they were going to lose control of their convention to Ron Paul supporters.
Right.
They then reconvened their convention the next day and only told the folks in the know in the good old boys network, thus shutting out all the Ron Paul supporters.
I mean, I just hope that with all the delegates that Ron Paul has, I just hope that he makes it a brokerage convention. I hope he goes there for the fight.
Well, that brings me to this next clip that I'm going to play for you. And to me, this is earth-shattering. So I want you to listen to what this reporter has to say. And it's about a 4.5-minute clip, but it's very, very important for what's coming up in Tampa.
An email reached our newsroom today and included this statement. The RNC and Team Romney will start pushing new messaging ahead of the president's trip to Ohio on Saturday, Hype and Blame 2012. Rather than getting into the hype and the blame issue, there's a bigger one here. How are the RNC and Team Romney teaming up while a Republican primary is underway? Ben has the reality check you won't see anywhere else.
Well, not only is the national media content with the idea that Mitt Romney is now the Republican nominee, apparently so is the Republican National Committee. 2 weeks ago, the RNC chairman announced Governor Romney's strong performance and delegate count at this stage of the primary process has made him our party's presumptive nominee. In order to maximize our efforts, I have directed my staff at the RNC to open lines of communication with the Romney campaign. Now, that may not sound too alarming to most people, and yet it is extremely problematic. Why is that? Because essentially the RNC chair is violating the rules of the Republican Party. Rule 11 of the Republican Party rules states that the Republican National Committee shall not, without the prior written and filed approval of all members of the Republican National Committee from the state involved, contribute money or in-kind aid to any candidate for any public or party office except the nominee of the Republican Party or a candidate who was unopposed in the Republican primary after the filing deadline for that office. And clearly, we are still in a primary. It's not up to the Republican leadership as to whether or not Romney is the only candidate in the race, because he is not. Congressman Ron Paul, of course, is still in the running in the primary. But since he is so far behind, does it even matter? Here's why it matters. I've been telling you for months now about the fight for delegates in the state conventions, where those unbound delegates are. But over the weekend, some stunning things took place in the Republican race. Keeping up with the delegate count is hard. In fact, there's a new website, thereal2012delegatecount.com. It lays it out pretty clearly. In Louisiana, get this, the district caucuses were held on Saturday. At the district level, 150 delegates move on to the state contest, where they will elect 46 delegates to go to the national convention. Louisiana has bound delegates. And yet, on Saturday, 111 of the 150 district delegates elected are Ron Paul supporters. Also on Saturday, Mitt Romney's home state of Massachusetts held its own congressional delegate caucus. They chose 19 delegates to go on to Tampa. But as the Daily Caller points out, 16 of those 19 are also Ron Paul delegates. The 16 delegates supporting Paul are bound to vote for Romney on the first ballot at the Republican National Convention. If Romney does not achieve the required number of votes on the first ballot, the delegates can vote for the candidate of their choice. Again, so writes the Daily Caller. And that was my understanding, until I was directed to the Republican National Convention rules for 2008 and 2010. And shockingly, that may not be the case at all. Way down at the end of the RNC rules is rule number 38. That rule consists of only one sentence. no delegate or alternate delegate shall be bound by any attempt of any state or congressional district to impose the unit rule. So what is the unit rule? Well, that rule requires that all delegates from one state or congressional district are required or bound to vote as a unit. So what you need to know? If Rule 38 is applied, not only does Mitt Romney not currently have enough delegates to secure the nomination, which he doesn't at this point, but he and Rick Santorum may have actually both lost a combined 62 delegates since last weekend. And most importantly, if those bound delegates are not bound at all under the unit rule, since most states are just now getting around to those state conventions, then this primary contest really only just started. This could be a fight on the convention floor. And that is Reality Check.
If you'd like to make your voice heard on the story, head over to Ben's Facebook page. You can find it by searching Ben Swan, WXIX.
What do you think about that, Mr. Robert?
That's wonderful. That made my day.
That's certainly not the story we're being told on the official mainstream news media day in and day out. Now, is it?
No, it's not. They don't. It's like Ron Paul disappeared.
And
he's
I can tell you that at our local county convention here, the delegates that were moving on to the national convention, they had to sign. They had to sign a contract stating that they would vote for none other than Newt Gingrich.
Wow.
But clearly, according to this story, that would be in violation of rule number 38.
Correct. I heard that very carefully, and I was I was going to ask the question about it, but they had rule 38 answered my question number two. But my question to you is, Ron, if so far, how many more states are left? I forget to the convention, or is it all finished?
No, it's by no means all finished. And you know, one of the things they didn't cover in that video, and I'm trying to pull up that website that they were talking about, the realdelegatecount2012.com. Ron Paul is kicking some tail out there as far as actual delegates. He won Iowa. He won Minnesota. He won Colorado.
Right.
He won Nevada. He won Louisiana. He won Massachusetts. He won Maine. I mean, the guy's been kicking butt and taking names out there when it comes to delegates.
So, but my question is then, so do we know the raw total of but my two questions. A, did Rick Santorum give rise to Mitt Romney yet? Number two, what is the raw total of delegates between Santorum and Ron Paul? That would be a good statistical question, right?
Yeah, I really you're right. It is a very good question, and I am looking for this website right now. You know, they keep talking about this brokered convention, but the way it's going, it might not be a brokered convention at all. I mean, you may end up with going into the convention without a winner, and you may see Ron Paul win it outright in the first vote.
That would be pretty interesting.
Now, I'm here to tell you, these folks are going to crap in their mess kit if anything anywhere near that occurs. And that's they're fighting tooth and nail to make sure that that doesn't happen.
I hope so. But have you heard that Santorum? Did Santorum really you know give his blessings to Romney? I didn't hear it yet. Did you?
Well, that's the thing. He can't. anyone that is a Santorum delegate, they still have the option of voting for Santorum if he's on the ballot. Now, if he removes his name from the ballot, that doesn't mean that they can't vote for him, but it would mean
right.
that their vote was largely wasted.
Right.
And what happened in Colorado is a good number of the Gingrich and Santorum voters swung over and voted for Ron Paul.
Exactly. That's something else, isn't it? So Ron Paul could like, really, Ron Paul could just, might win.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that it's not a foregone conclusion. I know there was, you know, a lot of people out there saying that there's he can't win. He'll never get elected. That's just
this
not the case.
This is reminds me of, you know, everybody they're doing the winner of president of the United States, remember? Same gig, right?
Yep.
That could be the same thing. Most likely, hypothetically, anyways. Who was Dewey ran against who? I'm trying to remember. Who was it? I'm trying to remember who Dewey ran against.
Oh,
he was running against, No, I lost it. I'm sorry, Ron. But you remember that election, though, right? He was ahead, but then somebody beat him out. Was it Roosevelt? He ran against Roosevelt.
Yeah, Dewey beats Roosevelt, yeah.
Thank you. I was having a senior moment, gang.
Well, look at this. Now, this is from March 8th, so, and I know this isn't updated, so we're talking about he's picked up another 67 delegates, if I heard that report correct. The current estimate was Romney 480, Ron Paul 195, Santorum 190, and Newt Gingrich 115. I know that a good number of Santorum's voters have gone over to Paul. And if he picked up another 67, we could be talking about a dead heat or a tie right now between Paul and Romney in the delegate count. So this is by no means over.
Right. And, of course, Newt Gingrich could easily change his mind and get mad at Romney for some reason, right?
Well, you know what? I think the more that these idiots endorse Romney,
right.
the more they dig their own hole. You know? I mean, if you stop and think about it for a moment, if you say you've got three guys running, if you look at the three of Gingrich, Santorum, and Romney, not a damned one of them can garner 40% of the conservative vote. They can't even get 40%. So to say that, oh well, I now support Romney as someone who got 15 or 20% of the conservative vote, that's not a very strong endorsement.
No.
That's a anyone but Ron Paul endorsement is what that
that's
is.
That's why I don't understand why he is the so-called presumptive nominee. They made him to be presumptive nominee. Like, he's the one. He's it. You know, and there's no one else that can do it. You know?
Absolutely.
I don't understand what he didn't do. But as you say, it doesn't really matter because the Electoral College elects the president anyways, right?
Well, that's true. It's the Electoral College and not the popular vote. However, it is the popular vote of the delegates, in this case, that gives you a nominee in which to vote for. And that's
right.
Why I think this whole process is important, because this is one time that your vote actually counts for something more than just, you know, window dressing. It's more than just I voted, you know.
Exactly. But my next question to you is, So what would happen if by chance, you know, Rule 38 tries to kick in, but the RNC is going to try to shmoo its way out of it and go against Rule 38, which probably could happen, right?
Oh, I'm sure they'll try and go against Rule 38. And what you have to remember there is that, you know, if you listened closely to the report, he said the rule for the convention for 2008 and 2010. Now, the reason I'm repeating the years is because it's infinitely important. During the even-numbered years, that's when they hold the conventions. And during the odd-numbered years, 07 and 09, is when they make the rule changes. So the rule, they would have made a rule change. It would have had to have been done in 2011. And I doubt very seriously that they've made a rule change to that Rule 38.
I don't recall if they did it.
So,
that's pretty,
you know.
Yeah. maybe we have a prayer.
There is a prayer, but I'm telling you right now, I said it before on previous shows, I honestly believe that the convention is the reason that we had H.R. 347 passed into law.
Right.
And that is the bill that anyone who's disrupting the process at some kind of a government function or in a restricted use area or building or wherever a major presidential candidate is present, Romney, then those Ron Paul supporters would be committing a felony.
Well, how so?
Well, because they would be trying to disrupt the GOP process of nominating Romney as the chosen one. That's why it bothers me to hear these people use the language that is being used. Just like in the newspaper article that was written after our own county convention, where the woman said exactly that the Ron Paul people showed up to disrupt the process. Well, we weren't there to disrupt it at all. We were participating in the process and exercising our rights. But evidently, if you're not going along with the status quo, then you're being disruptive.
So is there a law or rule that covers that process?
Well, there are rules, and Rule 38 would be one of them.
Exactly.
And then you're going to have this problem where these people have, like the folks in my county, that have signed a contract swearing an oath signed in blood on the name of God Almighty that they'll only vote for Newt Gingrich. I mean, this is such paranoia. The establishment is very, very afraid.
Wow.
I also had another clip that I didn't play, but one of the things we did at our convention was the Ron Paul group for our district convention. We're pretty active and we meet up. They have a meetup online and they also meet in person locally. And they put together a list of folks that we wanted to vote in as delegates. And it was passed out only to those people that are known within the Ron Paul group to be Ron Paul people. And the clip I had was a lady at another convention up in Maine. They where someone was circulating two false delegate lists or slates for purported Ron Paul people. And she was shocked to find her name on one of the lists. and some guy stood up and nominated her from the floor, and she had to go up and decline her nomination because she wasn't able to go. And what they were doing, this was a, you know, presumably a Romney move, Romney people trying to split the Ron Paul delegates, trying to split their delegate slate, which I thought was interesting. I mean, you know, they're really putting some, they're putting some effort into this.
Well, yeah, that's what I said to you maybe the other night. I just think these guys just stay up all night long, just thinking what they can do to what's the word I want to use? Mess with our minds.
Yeah, and we're disrupting the process. See.
Yeah, it's our fault. They're blaming this. It's class war. That's the class warfare gig.
And you know, yeah. your comment does not fall on deaf ears, because I've often wondered, watching all of this crap and attending the conventions, you know, attending the conventions here locally, what the hell do these people do for a living that they have free time, you know? And that was one of the things that some of them, you know, they get up there and, oh, I've been a member of the GOP for 140 years, and I gave them my firstborn child, and I've donated my entire life savings, and I attend every event, and I cooked pancakes for the judge that we elected last month. And, you know, what the hell do you people do for a living? I have to go to work every day, okay? So I apologize to everyone that I'm not able to just spend my every waking moment rubbing elbows with you idiots while you plot the demise of my country. But I have to work for a living. And that shouldn't disqualify me.
Oh, I'm not laughing at that. I'm just totally.
And I'll tell you, the ones that scare the hell out of me the worst are the women.
Oh my Lord, don't I know? You know, I was the Republican Party. Invited me to a party to watch the Kentucky Derby, right?
Uh-huh.
For cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, which I thought was nice, but I kept on scrolling down the invitations. Guess how much I had to pay to walk into the door?
Oh, probably $300 or $400.
This was only 50.
Well, that's not bad.
It's not bad, but, you know, I don't want to be on Obama's ass list either.
You know, I was not happy that I had to pay $30 to get into the district convention. But I knew, even though I knew that my money was going to a group that I oppose, even though they claim to espouse the same values and principles that I hold dear, and I know that they're lying because they never vote in favor of those values.
Mm.
But I knew my presence there would at least, I had a chance of getting moved up and having an actual vote in who got to go to the national convention. I couldn't go myself because I didn't go through the interview process, which I thought was a load of crap.
So... Are you still in the running for being the delegate for Tampa, possibly?
No, I was. I was a delegate, but in order to, let me qualify this, at my district convention, I was an alternate. There were not enough delegates that showed up from my county, so I got moved up to be a delegate. As a delegate, I had a vote in whether or not to send each individual person that was elected to be a delegate to go to Tampa. So I could vote in favor of that person or against that person. And we did have an impact, and we did manage to get a Ron Paul delegate to the convention in Tampa.
Mm-hmm. actually, I'm sort of glad that you're not a delegate, because at least you'll be safe in Georgia instead of being in that rat race.
I'm not sure about that, because I am really thinking very hard that I would like to attend the convention as a reporter and report live from the convention everything that's going on. So that would be interesting. I don't know if I'll be able to pull that off. And it looks like we have Miss Linda Sills on the line with us. Miss Linda, how are you?
How are you, sir? And hello, Robert, and everyone in the chat room. I'm in my car because I just finished an action meeting in Oceanside, heading down to Otay Lakes because I'm supposed to meet with some friends, and it's kind of another sad occasion. One of my friends lost her son. So anyway, I'm doing that. But Friday night was amazing. We had approximately 6,000 people, and I think I emailed you and explained that the idiots at the local rag newspaper reported 3,500 people to see Ron Paul.
Oh, now, the report I saw, Linda, said you guys had maybe 400 or 500 people.
Yeah, it was actually closer to 6,000. I'm not kidding. It was just amazing. And the young, I was probably like Miss Granny there because, you know, we're on a campus of college kids. And the young people next to me were talking about that they had attended his rally in UCLA not too long ago, and there were 10,000 people there. Of course, that would never be reported. But,
of course not.
So they, like I said, they just can't help themselves with the lying department. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, that's just it. The truth is dangerous to them.
Yeah. The truth has no place in their world at all. No.
It will turn their world upside down. They're terrified of it. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and what I tell you, every single time I turn on the TV, I keep turning it off because I get so sick of it. instead of throwing, you know, Rotten Tomatoes at the TV, I just turn it off. I can't listen to these. Like, you might get a 5-second soundbite of Ron Paul's name in what's called this primary, and it just drives you crazy. I mean, you know, the truth does not live with these people. It's just, it's so sad. But it was a great turnout. His speech was about 40 minutes long, and I did post pictures. I couldn't get close enough to him, you know, to get good close-ups with my little tiny Zoom that I have. But it was, you know, he every time he said Federal Reserve or Bernanke's name, the crowd booed. So they get it. And these were, majority were kids. They were young, you know. It was awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And, you know, I saw those pictures, and thank you for posting that and keeping everybody up to date.
Oh, good.
This is one of those things that, you know, Frank was really excited about, was the fact that Ron Paul is grabbing the youth movement.
Yes.
Or I should say the youth have just jumped on the bandwagon with Ron Paul. I should say that.
You know, he's not only charming when he's in person. That man is so knowledgeable, Ron. And he gets it. I mean, the guy totally gets it. And I was so happy. You know, he went through the endless war thing. He talked about the honest money. He talked about the overregulation, the overreach, the lack of the constitutionality for the past 120 years. You know, you can't argue with him. He's got all the facts. He's like the David Barton of the podium for this race. Yeah. You know,
well,
what
you know,
I mean?
It's so funny when he's at these events, you know, when you listen to what the man says, and I honestly and earnestly believe that most people, and this is not to insult anyone, but we have been so inculcated with 30-second sound bites. We've been so dumbed down.
Oh, God.
When you listen to the man speak, it sounds almost like gibberish. You have to go back and listen to him 2 or 3 times before you go, wow. And then you're like floored at how brilliant the man is. And you're realizing, damn, I should have noticed that instantly when the words came out of his mouth, but it didn't register.
Well, you know, when he's got a beautiful speech lined up like he did in person, it's a whole other ballgame because you don't have idiots throwing stupid questions at him and then cutting him off mid sentence to begin with.
Right.
So
Rudy Giuliani back there snickering, you know.
Yeah. So he was brilliant from start to finish. That was my, you know, point. And that's the forum he needs to be in. And thank God, you know, those stupid debates are over at this point. So, I mean, for the most part.
How was the energy?
It was up there. When he took the stage, I'm telling you, and I'm on my blog, we were in La Jolla, that's where it was basically located. And we're probably a good 8 miles from the actual, where the ocean hits the sand. There's this incredible, beautiful beach that's almost a private beach called Wind and Sea, where rich people hang out. And that crowd roared so loud, I'm surprised they didn't hear it right at Wind and Sea. I mean, they went bonkers. It was amazing. The applause, the screaming, it was just fabulous. And before he took the stage, they played that song that you very much play on your show. Ron Paul Revolution,
yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, kids were buying T-shirts for this, you know, like 10 bucks a pop all day long. It was, and the gal that I was with Tri-City Tea Party, she's a girl that we go to, you know, we see the same faces everywhere, you know, in San Diego, all the conservatives, and she was actually helping the kids on campus register people to vote. We got so many people registered within a short period of time. It was phenomenal. And she was helping them with their, you know, filling them out. She used to be a school teacher, so she's really great. She had so much patience. You know, she's kind of like Terry Rowland in that sense. And she was explaining, now, if you want to vote for Ron Paul in the primary, you must register as a Republican. She says, you can change it later, but you got to do it this time. She was wonderful. It was awesome.
That is
amazing.
That is fabulous. And,
yeah,
you know, that
was,
I sit and wonder, you know, the Tea Party, and that we hear, you know, of course, the media saying the Tea Party has been largely silent. And and I think it has, sort of. But, you know, I don't think there's been anything to really get the Tea Party excited of late.
I
can't help but wonder, they can't be excited about Mitt Romney. They just can't.
No. Well, here's the thing. He's being shoved down our throats like McShane was. And my answer to these people, like the 912ers and the As a Moms and the Oath Keepers and the Tea Party members of each little tiny faction, the I caucuses, I mean, I'm out here on the ground, Ron, every day. I go to these meetings constantly. I listen to people. We're not silent. We may not be in the news media right now, but we're working our backsides off out, you know, behind the scenes. That's what's going on. It's huge. People, when 2012 hits and those November elections and even the primary, wait till you see what happens. And I'm so thankful that you sent me the info on the delegates going Ron Paul's way. And they're going to see a tsunami. They're going to see Armageddon. I'm telling you. They'll see that Tea Party.
And I put those clips together for the show. I don't know if you heard them earlier.
No,
but,
not
you know,
yet.
The one where the guy was, the news report where they were talking about Rule 38 and the National Convention. And Rule 38 says that no state, district, or county can use bound delegates. That's awesome.
Yep.
Okay, and so that means that all this idea of bound delegates is so much horse manure. And I went in and looked at the most recent one I could find was March 8th. That put, you know, Romney at 480 delegates and Ron Paul at 195. That was when Santorum and Gingrich were kind of still in the mix.
Right.
And according to that last report, Ron Paul picked up 67 delegates from Romney and Santorum, just from Santorum and Romney, not to mention the delegates that he's picked up in Maine and Colorado and some of the others. So if my math is right, it looks like it's damn near a statistical tie right now between Romney and Ron Paul as far as actual delegate count.
Oh, man.
And especially if you take away the bound delegates, because I know that Romney has a large number of bound delegates that are Ron Paul supporters.
Yeah.
They're just simply, at this point, bound, by oath or affirmation to vote for Romney in the first round.
Oh, in my dreams, if we could get him nominated. Oh, God. Yeah.
That would be true.
I know. I'm so excited. So, people don't realize how motivated conservatives are right now, Ron. I mean, they just don't. They look at the overall Tea Party, there's no rallies going on because, like I said, we're busy in these meetings. We're doing stuff. We're registering people. We're, fighting Agenda 21. In fact, tomorrow night I'm going to have to call you again because I'm going to be anti-A21 meeting so we can get on board with against Oceanside Planning Commission because they're planning on doing the smart growth here in Oceanside. And I'll tell you, it's going to be over my dead body.
Robert and I talked earlier, and I think Robert turned some people on to the Agenda 21 thing. Is that correct, Robert?
That is correct, Ron. My friend's relatives, Linda, they moved from California to Florida because they couldn't make it. They couldn't make it in California.
They didn't even know
that Agenda 21 was going on. They had no clue.
Right. And Robert, thank you for telling them because what people don't understand, this in every town in America, these guys are doing this. It's so insidious, and they have found their way. If you even go to Ickley's own website and you read their general plans and their, and go back to Agenda 21, even from the, I think it was 2002 or whatever that was, or 1992, that particular one, it's like carbon copies of every general plan and every city council meeting I've been to. They're Stepford plans, I'm telling you.
Yeah, they follow a script. Yeah, there's no doubt. They definitely follow a script.
It's horrible. So that's why I'm fighting it. Yeah, and make sure, Robert, that everybody knows this is
I do. People are really beginning to understand the concepts now. It's just amazing that finally they're beginning to listen to me. I've been fighting tooth and nail down here in Sarasota County for so long, even before I came on the show. And it's just now they're beginning to people are basically tired of being jerked around,
When you look at people. You got to know who the players are, too, Robert. And it would probably behoove everyone to do a little bit of research on the internet. You got Hillary Clinton, Maurice Strong, Al Gore. You've got the UN. You've got Cass Sunstein, and all these clowns working hand in hand to destroy our liberties in any way they can. And they've adopted under their wing the EPA and given them way too much power. And I'll tell you, it's a good thing it's not in charge because there would be a lot of unemployed people and a giant bonfire of regulations just gone.
I was talking to a 90-year-old man today for 3 hours, right, about what was going on, Linda.
Okay.
And he goes, whoa. Young man, he called me young man at age 56. He goes, young man, you know your stuff.
Cool.
You know what's going on, young man.
Let me tell you.
Go ahead.
I've done so much research, and if you want to find out some really good people to try to combat it, go to Google Tom DeWeese and Rosa Chiori, because they've got tons of stuff to help you out. Also, I I think I've earned a reputation. I was down there after the Ron Paul event was finished, and we were finishing up registering people, and the gentleman from one of our, it was either Vista Tea Party or North County Conservatives, and he walked up and he says, "Oh, I know you. You're Linda. I call you AGA21, Against Agenda 21. So everybody knows me now. It's great. I'm loving it because I'm always wearing my button, too. Oh,
that's
praise
great,
the Lord.
Linda. You're fighting the fight, man. And I know you are. You're getting it out. It's spreading. Agenda 21 is spreading in Sarasota County. I don't even attend the Republican conventions. I mean the Republican meetings anymore because they're total Mitt Romney supporters, and I just can't believe they succumbed
But Robert, you've got to attend, and you've got to find other people down there that are Ron Paul supporters, and you guys descend on those damned meetings. That's what we had to do here. And let me tell you, you feel like the odd man out when there's 70 people in a room and three of you are Ron Paul supporters and the rest of them are boo-hissing everybody, you know, and they're McCain supporters or they're Rudy Giuliani supporters, and you just want to pull their hair out. But you can't. You got to smile and be polite and, you know, all those nice things.
But I understand that, Ron, but the people that were diehard Ron Paul supporters that went to the meetings, they gave up on the meetings too. They just can't believe they succumbed to it. They just don't want to even bother anymore. You know, they lost faith in our own party. You know, and it's the way it is down here.
Well, I know there's some of that going on. You know, we saw a good bit of that kind of thing in our area here, and it just kills me because we would go to the and I stopped going to the GOP meetings primarily because they're mainly on Saturdays and I have to work. But when they were doing them on Thursdays, you know, I would try and attend their monthly meetings, and we had a majority. You know, there was 60 of us in the room and 10 of them. And
Wow. Boy,
they didn't like it. I mean, let me tell you, they didn't like it. And the problem was they were all chairman and co-chairman and, you know, sergeant at arms, and they held all the positions within the party that really matter at the local level. And so we just largely got, you know, shouted down every time we went in.
Sure.
And even at our county convention, the chairman told somebody to sit down and shut up, you know, because they kept putting forth motions on the floor, and they were the good old boys network was clearly in violation of the rules, and they didn't give a damn. They were going to do it their way, come hell or high water, and it didn't matter what anybody else thought, whether you had a majority or not. But you still have to fight.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Miss Linda, I'm sure feels like she's up against a brick wall out there.
Oh, it's crazy, especially when now I have to go after the major guy that I just found out about on a couple internet sites. People sent me the emails about this, and thank God they did, because I was unaware of it. And I'm going to go to the calendar tomorrow and prepare for the meeting tomorrow night, because I want my task force down there, this Cunningham guy who's the planning commission in Oceanside. We got to give him a what for. And, it's tough. There was one guy at the Ron Paul event, and he was only one, the lone man with a homemade sign. I almost felt sorry for him. He's wearing a suit that says Mitt Romney for president. But he must have been pretty felt outnumbered. Plus, he left early because nobody would even talk to him. It was pretty wild. But,
See, that's the kind of guy, you know what, and that's one thing that bothers me in all of these contests. When you get somebody like that, that's a guy I want to talk to. Why? Right. Because he shows more balls than anybody else there. I mean, the courage it took for that man to show up at that event sporting a Romney sign. I mean, you know, he could have been sporting an Obama sign, but you know what? He shows courage. Those are the kind of people we need to talk to and get them converted over.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was by myself until I had met up with the other gal, so I a little intimidated by the crowd as well, you know, and I had just arrived. But, yeah, it's amazing what was going on. But for the most part, a lot of really good things were going on. There were no people screaming against Ron Paul. There was none of that. There was no bad people. So it was all good that day. It was great.
You know, it's great to be in those crowds and the amount of energy that is in those crowds and knowing that you're not alone. You're not alone in this fight. I mean, you know.
It's inspiring. I know. Very inspirational it was. So there was no way I had to fight the traffic, and I actually was on the freeway talking to Brian on his show that evening. And Brian says, oh, dang. He says, I came so close to getting on a plane. He wanted to come and be here. Yeah, he really wanted.
No, you can't blame him. And, you know, this movement is, I mean, it was strong in 2008. It was amazing. It has grown exponentially
since
the 2008 presidential campaign. And I don't think that it's so subdued in the media that people don't even realize it.
Oh, they will.
I know they will. And, you know, I was telling Robert earlier that I am absolutely certain that the national convention, the GOP convention in Tampa, is exactly why they passed H.R. 347. I have no doubt in my mind.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
We've got another guest coming in here, and I'm pretty sure I know who this is. But we're going to bring them up. 804, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Hugh in Virginia.
Oh, okay. How's it going, Hugh?
I'm doing terrific. I'm enjoying what I'm hearing, and I'm standing in my own truth. And there's very interesting documents coming out onto the Internet through me now. And I wanted to share my name so you could see some of them as this election starts heating up. It's going to cause some more questions to be asked.
Well, good. What you got a link that you can?
Well,
you're
I'll
not
give you my
in,
name
a,
and there's various things that can be looked at. My name is Hugh, H-U-G-H. The last name is Trawlson, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N as in Nancy. When you Google my name, you'll see a blog, creativity777.com. On that blog is actually a letter from President Obama to me related to the economy, dated July 7th, 2009. I responded to his letter and followed up numerous times without one word back from the administration. In my letter of response, I said that I have no risk strategies that are actually a strategic intelligent enhancement that will allow businesses at will to expand and diversify to an unlimited degree in any field and create jobs and opportunities at the same time. It's totally transparent, highly ethical, and moral. Do you suppose that's why I didn't get any response?
God, I don't mean to laugh, Neil. I'm sorry.
Hugh. So what do you see going on, Hugh,
I'm going to give you something that's very important to look at, and I'm so happy that my partner's just branding me and put this on the Internet. If you Google HughTrawlson.com, there's a front page Wall Street Journal article dated Wednesday, April 27th, 1983. In that article, I exposed the former federal government bureaucrat for fraud. I believe he was a CIA operative. At the time, he was engaged to the daughter of Texas Congressman Jim Wright. Now, Jim Wright went on to become the Speaker of the House, but that article put him in the spotlight. I was interviewed by a bureau chief from another newspaper who dogged Mr. Wright until eventually he resigned the speaker position in shame. That whole initial Wall Street Journal article came about from a short memo that had been sent to me that I activated when I saw things weren't quite right. You can see what that memo says right on that HughTrolson.com when you click on historical articles. And the Wall Street Journal article so beautifully describes just how special interests and lobbyists have totally corrupted the atmosphere in Washington, and that was before Ross Perot talked about it in the day, and that's why nothing gets accomplished anymore. So they all, you have to clean house, and shame on every single one of them in there. They're not doing the will of the people, but what we have to do is create a whole new paradigm. We have to accept responsibility and know that we put these crooks into office. I say what we have to do now is laugh and love the ones in office out and love the right ones in. And that every time you come into any politician campaigning from now on, just keep hammering the same question over and over to him wherever he appears. Say, don't you tell me what you can do for me once you're elected. You tell me today, right here and now, what you can do for this community, for the state, and for the people. The people have the answers. The people are the greatest asset of any country. Yep. The politicians can interact, get the answers from the people, the ones that present them in the best way, get elected. They're kept under the microscope. They don't do what they said. They're right out of there. The 40, 50-year politicians, their history, you'll never see that again. And again, shame on every single one of them in there, because they'll go down to history and they'll shame their families.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and I was talking to a customer of mine the other day and you know, just discussing everything that's happened over the last 80-plus years in this country. And coming out of World War II, you know, we had this era of prosperity that happened, the end of the Great Depression, and people tended to look the other way when their liberties were encroached upon, when they were put upon to donate more and more of their earnings, their wages, to this behemoth in Washington, D.C. And as long as the free money was flowing and the party was on, nobody seemed to mind. But now that we've reached a point of unsustainability with our spending and our debt, the people, there's not enough people working to support the damn thing any longer. And you're still left, you're stuck with this huge overbloated government that never should have existed to begin with. The government
is exactly right. And what the biggest problem is corruption, because it's rampant in big government, big business, mainstream media, and the religions are going to have the wrappings coming off them. They're all in cahoots together. They'd love to shut the internet down, but they needed to spy on us. So now we have the opportunity to look back at who's jerking us around and why. And when we start putting intelligence into these occupiers globally, it's going to be a fantastic new world. But we have to do it with love this time, because since the beginning of time, it's all been about control, divide, and conquer. And the elite, they can't handle unconditional love. They don't know what to do with it. So when you do that, what I say too is, I don't have the fear. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran. I'm a disabled senior citizen. It's non-service-connected disability. But from a near-death experience, I don't fear death anymore. And what I say now is, I have my heart directly aligned with God. And if you do that, and you'll be fine when God's harmonics come. Now, harmonics, of course, are sound waves. But if you're an elite, you can be sitting on your yacht over in the Mediterranean sipping a piña colada, and you may spontaneously combust or explode. And the same thing if you're in an underground bunker somewhere. But you can save your life and live a little longer if you begin to start caring and sharing and do the right thing by people. So that's where the fear goes now. And the ones that drew up this Agenda 21 in the UN that wants to depopulate the planet by about 6 billion people or whatever, they really put a lot of thought into that, except they missed out on one big important part, because they should be setting the example and getting the hell off the planet and leaving us alone.
Well, you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and you know, that's one of the things that we've talked about on this show and my show on Monday nights, is that we cannot allow ourselves to descend into the muck with these people, and we cannot allow ourselves to become what it is we're fighting. We don't want to come after these people with hate and just, you know, vitriol coming after them. We need to extend you know, true love and concern for our fellow man. And you're absolutely right. Love is the answer. That is
yes.
that unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
the reason, Hugh, if I may, the reason they don't understand unconditional love is because they don't know who Jesus is.
That's true. But a lot
yeah.
of people will resist that, too. I have Christ consciousness, so I know exactly what you're saying. But I do say it to those because they have to find their way. I say you cannot go wrong by inviting Jesus to come into your heart whenever you're ready.
Right.
But I leave it to anybody, whoever they feel the Creator is, because, you know, there's indigenous peoples that have their traditions that were before Jesus and whatever. And the ones that find out about Jesus are fully accepting of him, too. So I agree, but I don't
yeah.
force it on anybody. It has
to
be a...
I think the bigger point is they serve the adversary. That's why they can't
yeah.
get
right.
sued. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But,
you know, I know what Hugh is talking about. I've got a good friend of mine who is a Ron Paul supporter, and he's a member of our group, and he was at our county convention, and I guess I just never bothered to, you know, get into a deep conversation with him. He's Buddhist. And I think I offended him by taking a pretty strong stance on Christ.
You have to let everybody find their own way. That's where we have to just personal. You have to, everything starts from within your own heart. You're creating your own world. So when you begin to understand that and understand the law of attraction is very simple and very basic. What you put out is what you get back. Then you'll want to put out more love, and you'll get that back.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Hugh, have you ever been to our website, patriotfamilies.com?
I just looked at it briefly. I don't use email myself, but I do have a partner who's just starting to brand me. She's in New Jersey, and she has a blog talk show. It's called TakeActionLifeCoach.com
uh-huh.
is her website, and the show name is Take Action Life Coach on Blog Talk Radio. And a couple of weeks ago, she interviewed a friend. I've never met him, but he's a write-in candidate for president. His site is LightParty, LightParty.com. Dr. David, and he's a wonderful humanitarian. He's the founder of the San Francisco Medical Research Foundation under the health portion of the Light Party site. It's a huge database of all kinds of very valuable holistic medical information. He's got another project on the site called the Global Peace Foundation. He's actually converting Alcatraz, the former prison, into a global healing center. And a third part of his site is something called Artainment. It's beautiful mandalas and kaleidoscopic images with music in the background that have actually been proven to be soothing and therapeutic for people to watch. It relaxes them. So it's a whole new way of looking at things.
Outstanding.
And
well, I really am encouraged with, you know, the things that I'm seeing going on behind the scenes with the Ron Paul campaign and the whole GOP system. It looks like the wheels are kind of coming off the proverbial wagon, if you will.
Well, if you have contact with any of these people, all I'm looking for is people to investigate me. And I consider myself Joe the Plumber's older brother, but I'm no Joe the Plumber. I'm solution-oriented, and that's what I want to get kicking around. There's answers that people, you know, it's common sense thinking. We can come together in our communities, and entrepreneurism is what built America. And now the elites don't want entrepreneurs anymore. They want to shut everything down.
Well, we have as a society absolutely rejected common sense. There's nothing commonsensical about the way things are being run right now. And, you know, I've done previous shows and posts that the fact of the matter is that words have no valid meaning today. In our current government.
An interview on that blog, creativity777.com. It's a question of getting people to look at things differently, and I propose to do that through incentivizing things, because when you have It'll get more attention, and you'll hear me describe a product on that interview called CEO Fertilizer. How appropriate is that for Wall Street?
Good one.
When you hear me describe CEO Fertilizer, just keep in mind that every aspect described can actually apply to every existing product, service, and website and everything coming online in the future. That's why I did it that way, so people could see that there are alternatives. And it's not a company in the future. I think Wall Street's going to crash eventually because of the greed, and I look for all private industry to be the way of the future. You'll make yourself make or break yourself from your company website, and not only will you have to supply an excellent product and service, but you will have to have education, opportunity, and incentives to hold your customer base and to attract new people through the social media and word of mouth.
Wow.
I think that's absolutely correct. And I think that, you know, I think we're going to see a collapse of the dollar hegemony, if you will. And I think that's coming very soon, sooner than later.
There's an excellent book. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called Broker, Trader, Lawyer, Spy. Have you heard of that one?
No.
Yes. Broker, Trader, Trader, Lawyer, Spy. The author is Amon Javers, Amon Javers. And what this book describes are retired CIA, FBI, and Secret Service types. They've formed little companies. They're in bed with their former enemies from the KGB, and through their active—I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh yes, through their active duty years, they can tell through interrogation techniques whether somebody's telling the truth or lying. So, based on this simple concept, these little companies have aligned themselves with large corporations and hedge funds. And it gives an example in the book of a hedge fund that paid one of these little companies a fee of $200,000 just to qualify certain information. Once that was accomplished, the hedge fund's company shorted a stock and made $20 million. Now, that may be legal. It certainly isn't ethical and moral, and that's going on continuously in global markets as we speak. So that may explain why the stocks go up and down a few hundred points in a day a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. Well, I certainly understand the stock market and the manipulation that goes on behind the scenes. I mean, we have to look no further than the president's working group on financial instruments to see that, you know, what goes on there. Most of the trading that's been going on in the last year is simply institutional trading. The volume's been relatively light. The mom-and-pop investors and a lot of the guys that are, you know, day traders playing the market have gotten out of the game for one reason or another. Many of the trading houses have upped the ante for your margin requirements to the point that many of the independent traders can't compete. There's no way to make any money in it. It's crazy what's going on out there. Especially in the commodities and futures markets. And then
don't you love the way it's policed? Do you remember the SEC guys that made a couple $100,000 a year were caught red-handed about a year and a half ago? They're supposed to be monitoring Wall Street. They're watching pornography all day on the computers. And they said they were going to discipline them. They never identified them, and they never said how they were going to discipline them. So that leaves it in my mind, they didn't discipline them at all. They took them off the computers, they promoted them, and made them all TSA agents and put them at the airports to feel people up and get their jollies out.
Wow.
You know, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, you look at what they did with Spitzer, and I'm no cheerleader for Elliot Spitzer, but they certainly defrocked that man. He was making waves on Wall Street.
Why
he
are
was
we
putting
paying
the fear
a pension
of God
to Wiener? We're paying a big pension to Wiener?
Yeah, the Wiener waiver.
The Wiener waiver.
Good old Anthony. Oh, my God.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And when you look at the thing that frightens me the most in the market is the derivatives. The whole derivative trade is completely unregulated. And when you look at the central clearinghouse with Seed and Company, and all, you know, the incidents of failure to deliver on stocks, it's like the wild, wild west. It's just a huge casino. I just don't see how it can be sustainable. And I heard a rumor floated today that China is talking about backing the renminbi or the yuan with gold. And that would explain a lot of their gold purchases. They've been buying up gold like mad.
Yep.
And that would put a lot of pressure, further pressure on the U.S. dollar. And if the Soviets and China both, you know, pool together, I think we're in really dire straits. Certainly we had problems. We didn't like the idea of what Gaddafi was doing over in Libya. We're still messing with the Iranians who threatened to, you know, sell oil for gold and get out of the dollar. We don't like Hugo Chavez. He dumped the dollar for euros. It seems that anybody that doesn't want to play the finance the government with U.S. dollars game becomes an enemy very quickly.
Yes. Are you familiar with the book, How to Be an Economic Hitman by John Perkins?
Yes, John Perkins.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right. Right. So, you know, there's so much corruption that has to be, it all has to be rooted out, but it has to be done peacefully because they're waiting for us to go into a rage to just put everybody in concentration camps and stuff.
But
these wars
are
all manipulated. I'm a Vietnam era veteran. And when I was young, I was fortunate. I was in a successful family. My father was a manufacturer. My mother was a supermodel. We used to vacation in Cuba. I was there when Castro overthrew Batista in 1959. We had to get out on an emergency flight. But why I'm bringing this up is that you mentioned Gaddafi. I think Castro did a lot worse to his people than Gaddafi did. Where are we drawing the lines in this war on terrorism and stuff?
Well, I think where we draw the lines is where their monetary loyalty lies.
That's exactly the point. Yes, you made the point.
You know, if they're not supporting the petrodollar hegemony of the world reserve status, then they're public enemy number one.
You want to have fun. When I throw this out, so people will begin to think more creatively. Number one, I tell everybody to register as an independent. Let them all figure that out. Number two is that if you took the three communities together and they all agreed to this, you start buying for 2 months only one type of gasoline, let's say Exxon, for 2 months. Just avoid every station that sells anything else. It's going to drive them nuts. They'll try and probably give it away for free or whatever. At the end of the 2 months, you make a decision whether to do another 2 months with Exxon or move over to another one. So we can play back the games that they play with us if we have some intelligence. And, you know, people just don't realize how they manipulate us. They shrink the packaging on food with all the poison chemicals and up the prices and laugh at us. They put toys in the hands of people, the smartphones, and they say you have unlimited minutes. Go enjoy yourself. And then they pull them back after they got people addicted to whatever they're doing, Facebooking and texting and Twittering their lives away instead of using it for smart networking, for business opportunities. So, you know, people just have to wake up. They just, when the beer runs out and the TV turns off, then they're going to be in a rage. And that's what I'm looking to avoid by standing in my own truth and showing, you know, if you have any respect for yourself as a human being and you are a parent, at least for your children and grandchildren and the generations to come, now's the time to stand up and take this country back in peaceful, loving ways and make it be the beacon world the way God to be, with the freedoms that we used to enjoy, which we're losing very quickly.
Well, you know, they certainly have a ready-made mob in the entitlement class. I mean, we've got multiple generations that have been raised on nothing more than handouts. My daughter and I were talking the other night. She saw some television show that's based here in Atlanta called Bait Car, where the cops, you know, I guess they have nothing better to do than just put a car out as a temptation, you know, fishing for these young black men down in the bad parts of Atlanta to come and steal the car. And then, of course, once they try to steal the car, all the doors lock, the engine shuts off, and they're caught. These people have no respect for private property. They've never had to earn anything. Everything they've ever gotten in life has been given to them, handed to them. And so they have no respect. They have no concept of, you know, other people's property. And when the gravy train pulls out of the station and they're not on it, they're going to be furious. We saw a precursor to that up in Michigan with the teachers union going nuts. And they're cutting off their noses to spite their face. They don't even recognize that what the governor, Scott Walker, was trying to accomplish in Michigan was to save their jobs and give them some kind of choice in insurance and retirement. And they fought him tooth and nail.
Yeah.
You know, they're cutting their own throats and they don't even know. They're too ignorant to even realize it.
Well, that's why they have to be shown where the corruption is. And it has to all start grassroots in the community and move it on up. But you mentioned you're in the Atlanta area. When you Google my name, Hugh Charlson, look for an article entitled America's New Transformational Economy. There's a 18-page PDF file that can be downloaded from that. One of the items is actually a letter from the Carter administration to me. And in the letter, they thanked me and they misplaced a 23-page letter that I had sent earlier and asked if I had another copy. Yeah, that's right in the letter. And then are you familiar with it used to be called National Museum of Patriots, Baker Street? I think it's a online venue now.
Not, actually.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they call it now, but if you just Google National Museum of Patriotism, it's all online.
Outstanding. Robert, did you have any questions for Mr. Hugh?
Yes, sir. Neil, you know your stuff, my man.
Hugh, not Neil.
Hugh. I'm sorry. But
it's
you know your stuff. I mean, I tell you, you're on the ball because let me ask you a question.
I came to this earthly plane to stand in my truth. I've had some very bizarre experiences I'll be coming out with, too. I've had UFO, paranormal, and near-death experiences also. So I'm showing people that I don't have the fear, and it's time to let the fear go, that's the illusion. And whatever you can't control, if you put it in the hands of Jesus or put it in the hands of the Almighty, that's what you have to do in order to progress.
Now, Hugh, I'm gonna tell you that Robert, I believe, had a paranormal experience about a month ago. He ate some roasted pig.
Uh-huh.
Robert's Jewish by heritage, and I like to poke fun at him once in a while. He's a good egg.
When I had a little Jewish doctor for years, I'm a big guy, I'm about 400 pounds, and he couldn't figure out why my blood pressure was on the money all the time. And I said, Doc, I don't know what to tell you. I think it's the garlic offsetting the bacon. And he said, my wife won't let me eat bacon or whatever because he's Jewish or whatever.
That's right.
That's funny.
They keep the cholesterol down.
Yes. And I love my bacon and eggs in the morning.
but you know, this is what I heard of. This is, you know, I was telling Ron that I haven't watched the news in, you know, like in 3 days. And, you know, and my stress level has basically just decreased dramatically by not watching the news, right?
Has it increased or decreased?
Decreased. My stress level has just decreased by not watching mainstream media.
Right, exactly,
But 3 days ago, this is what really, really, I wanted to share this on the show because this one really, really, really fueled me before I went on my quickie vacation yesterday. And what they were saying, we know that people are unemployed and his times are tough, da-da-da-da-da, right? And we know if you lost your job, if you can't find work, you know, you got to keep your upper chin, da-da-da-da. They said that if you can't find a job, the best way to try to make to make money is to create your own employment. And when I heard that too, I just said, I've had enough. You know, that was the camel that broke the, you know, broke the back, the straw that broke the back. When they're telling people now, if you can't find work, you have to find your own. It's like, you know, you're on your own. See them, you know, so you're not, you're on your own. Basically, that's what it amounted to, in my opinion. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong.
There's no more money, so they're telling people, we're not going to take care of you anymore. After we wanted to control you, now we don't want to take care of you. We'd rather have you die off, and the elites can have the world themselves.
No, see, you feel the same way I do, Ron.
Well, I feel a little differently, though, because there are things that people have to be educated. They can empower themselves. And I'm looking to interact with people to help brain drain me. But I created a product July 11, 2011, I call a Y-Pod. And I'm giving the basic concept free to all mankind to help them with their spirituality and creativity. And this product can be utilized on and off the grid. Off the grid, the Y-Pod can be as simple as an index card file of contacts and opportunities that you empower and give value to by how you interact and network with it. On the YPOD stands for Your Personal Opportunity Database. On the internet, it can be a website, a blog, or a social media application. Those can be portals to sophisticated computer-coded pre-qualified global business opportunities. So now we take control of the business, keep it in our loving circles, and then transparently ripple it out to the world. And it takes it away from the right.
So you're helping people networking and also.
I don't want to just help people. I want to empower people to do it themselves. I already know that I'll have more than I'll ever need. I'm looking to make billions before I go back into the spirit world again. But I don't want the billions. I want the billionaires to see and be transparent. And these CEOs that make these huge dollar amounts for nothing and just rip off the stockholders and whatever, they're going to have to perform in the future, and they're just going to get percentage of the company profits instead of a big fat compensation and golden parachute package. So the companies that I'm looking at for the future, they're going to have to be more responsible for their employees, their customers, the environment, and the community in a transparent way. And people will be watching that, and people will be looking. They'll educate themselves. They'll learn that every day you buy a product, it's election day because you're casting a vote for the product that you're buying. So if you want to buy something with lead-based paint on it from China at a Walmart, then that's what you'll get. Spend a buck or two more, buy American or buy from another country that has good quality merchandise, and that's a better choice perhaps. And another thing, I love this book, called Stirring It Up, How to Save the World and Make Money by Gary Hirschberg, the CEO of Stonyfield Yogurt. And he's made a statement. He said, if you think you're too small to make a difference, then you've never gone to bed at night with a mosquito in the room. Think about that.
Hey, oh,
that's pretty
good. Oh, you made my day. Thank you for not thinking that I was crazy for hearing correctly.
The gentleman that had the light party, he's Jewish, by the way. So,
say Robert says.
Well, you can contact him through my name. You can send him an email, tell him you talk to me, and it's right on the site, lightparty.com.
So it's lightparty.com that I have to go into?
Yes, just don't put the, just put light, LIGHTPARTY.com. I'll give you another very interesting site that has a good bead on the elites. It's very spiritual and very in-depth. It's called Sanctus, S-A-N-C-T-U-S, Germanus, G-E-R-M-A-N-U-S.net.
Sanctus Germanus, that's Latin. Tell me, refresh me what that means. refresh me what that
means? Well, this is all related to the Ascended Masters and whatever. They're based up in Calgary, Canada, but just you'll see on the site, it's hugely extensive, sanctusgermanus.net, and I think you'll enjoy that. And then I just wanted to interject one more thing. I don't want to monopolize the show, but I just wanted to show another example of prophecy in a way. When you Google my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, Traulsen, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N, look for an article entitled America's New Transformational Economy. And there's another article in that PDF file called USA Unlimited Solutions Always. I wrote that during the presidential election in 2008. And in the article at one point I said, because the president was campaigning on the word change, and back in 2008 I said, Americans don't want change. We want all our money back. How prophetic was that?
Yeah, you got that right.
Wow.
But, you know, that's the thing that they're not just going to give it up. We're going to have to take it. And
well,
one of the things that I've told people is, you know, we have an inherent right. Being a human being, we have inherent God-given rights. And we have to learn to stand up and say no when people try to encroach upon those rights.
You're right.
You're exactly right. And again, why I say I'm a way shower. Now, I'm a disabled senior citizen. And on January 3rd, 2009, I was arrested from my bed in a senior independent apartment building. And I was set up by a group of malicious women gossipers, one of who had a son that was on a sergeant on the police force. And I immediately forgave everyone, and that's when the miracles started happening. I got a court-appointed attorney who happened to be a retired major general from the Army. The first thing he said when I came to his office is, what the heck did they even arrest you for? I said, I think it's evil trying to throw me off my path, but it won't. On the day of the hearing, there was no hearing. The prosecutor saw evidence that I put into the hands of the arresting police woman who refused to look at it, and that the prosecutor came to my attorney, who then came to me and said, the prosecutor will immediately drop the arrest and all charges if you will agree to certain conditions so he could save face. And that was to have two women to have restraining orders against me for the period of 2 years. They claimed that I was stalking them. They had fear of their lives for the period of 2 months, which was total lies. And I looked over, I had to make a snap decision, and I'm going, if they could get me arrested from my bed, God only knows if they could tell any kind of lie to this judge. Let me get the heck out of here. So I went along with the restraining orders, and as the months progressed, I did my own investigative work. I called an internal affairs policewoman, and I didn't like the answer she was giving me. Then when I got the letter from the president, I put a little note on it to the chief of police, who's FBI and FBI executive trained. I wasn't expecting a reply, but I got one. And in his brief response, he said in a letter to me that as far as he was concerned, there was a hearing. I was found not guilty. He didn't see any misunderstanding on the part of the police department and wished me the very best. I sent a whole big packet of information back to him and said I was copying the president on this. Nobody wants to touch this with a 10-foot pole. This is sitting in the White House looking to be unwound, and it was months before the professor's friend, Professor Henry Louis Gates, was arrested trying to get into his house in Cambridge, and they had that. They had the beer gate that accomplished absolutely nothing. I was trying to interact with that and be a part of it, but and I would have said at the very least to drop the racial baloney, number one, and number two, when the police come knocking, you don't argue, you just cooperate, otherwise you're going to get yourself tasered and all kinds of additional charges trumped up on you. So it's sitting there, but all that's going to be documented on this HughTraulsen.com, as my partner is able to put more documents on the site.
Well, you know, I can attest to your testimony there. I was pepper sprayed twice by a county marshal, and the marshal is basically the police department for the court.
Right.
And the court, I had filed a response to the court, and I was still awaiting their ruling on what I had filed with them. When the marshal had contacted me, I explained to him that there was no set court date for me to appear, and there was still a motion pending before the court, and that, the court couldn't compel me to appear before they answered the motion, which they obviously had refused to do. It was a magistrate's court, and I knew they had very limited jurisdiction. So anyway, he showed up at my place of employment and pepper sprayed me because I wouldn't speak to him. And everyone, lawyers, everyone I know, you can sue them. You'll own the county. You've got a multi-million-dollar lawsuit. My wife was furious at me because I refused to go after them. And I forgave them. I absolutely forgave them, and especially the officer, Bobby Free. And, it was interesting. When I went up to the county courthouse to get the copies of the arrest warrants that they didn't have, and that they had to doctor and create. Every time I see that officer, he looks as if someone has put a steel rod in his spine. He stiffens straight up and he will not look me in the eye. And that's satisfaction
that.
Enough for me.
Right. You did the right thing. Congratulations. I'm putting my stuff out there because I'm hoping to have a book and a blockbuster movie made. I don't want a penny, but I want it to go to, women that have been abused that really need it, and or some other organization or whatever. But, this woman that had me arrested, remember I said one of the gossipers had a son who was a sergeant on the police force. This was a total setup. And in the patrol car on the way over, she told me she's very experienced in these kind of situations, and that just hit my gut like a knife. And I'm wondering how many people are sitting in jail because of all her experience that shouldn't be there. So that's why I want some of this to come to light. And also the documents I mentioned that the prosecutor saw, those were written messages to me by one of the women who was actually a reverend who perjured herself on paper. And there's no statutes of limitations on perjury in Virginia. So she has son who's an English professor in a university, and I tried to get him counseling for when this might come out, and I don't think they ever did it because eventually he wound up sending me a letter because I had sent information up testing the restraining orders to let people after they said they would tell me that he was being counseled, and they never did. So I think an attorney told him what to write. And he said he wasn't aware of who I was or anything. I knew he was aware, but he was saying basically he was threatening me like his mother. And I received it on a Friday afternoon. On the Monday following, I got a call from the police department in the town where this university is saying that if I had any contact at all with anybody at the university, even alumni or whatever, that I could be subject to arrest. I said, are you arresting me over the telephone or what? And I said, you read this into your report. And I took the report number and the woman's name and whatever that was taking this information. And then after a while, I checked back to see if I'd be able to obtain a copy of it. And they make it hard for you. They're up in Connecticut. I'm disabled down in Virginia. They say I could only get it in person paying cash. So all that's sitting in the records, too, and this will all come out eventually. But some of these people have died. The sergeant that was on one of the gossipers has died. Some of the gossipers have died. I haven't kept count. It's like 10 little Indians. I didn't ask for that, but that's in God's hands. And I've seen other things like that happen with people that mess with me, and I just stay on my path just trying to put out the unconditional love and the forgiveness. It's forgiveness, love, and prayer, and that's the basics of life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, where do you live in Virginia?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because as I stand in my truth, somehow spirit-driven to be where I am right now. I had been living in Glen Allen. That's where I was arrested. Right now, I live in Ashland. It's Excuse me.
Oh,
it's a little,
I love that.
Yeah, it's a little town about 20 miles north of Richmond. Ashland bills itself the center of the universe. I'm self-proclaimed to the heartbeat of America. Ashland sits in Hanover County, where Patrick Henry grew up, who said, "I regret that I have but one life to give to my country." And as a Vietnam-era veteran all these years later, I feel the same way. And I have my father's corporate attorney used to date Connie Francis. I don't know if you gentlemen are old enough
yes.
to know who she is. Yes, and I came into contact with her last fall because I never met her. She used to go to my father's house for dinner parties back in the 60s, and I was on active duty in the Air Force. But last October, I came into contact with her on a blog talk show, and during that show, she announced, and this has all been approved, she's planning a telethon to raise money to help veterans across America. It's going to be the
yes.
biggest telethon ever. And a guy that did the Jerry Lewis telethon for 25 years is involved in setting it up. They're just getting their tax ID number. I don't know what venue or where it's going to be, but it's going to be huge. And this is going to rock and roll. And we're going to get things moving in the right direction. That's why I'm standing on my truth, too, because this information just has to start flowing. And I'm not going to let this country go down the tubes. I want to just paint another little word picture and show what's going on, too, from many years ago. I'm sure that if you know Connie Francis, then you'll remember Nikita Khrushchev sitting in the UN pounding his shoe on the desk saying that we're going to bury you. Now,
yeah.
back in the
right.
day, we thought it was going to be with the ballistic missiles, but I think what he was alluding to is what's happening to us now. It's corruption that's burying us. So we have to root all that out and have everything transparent.
Absolutely.
Isn't
Connie the lady that used to do the Ace Hardware commercials as well?
That's right.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, she's quite a gal.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, she's been in and out of mental institutions quite a bit and talks about it. You know, she was raped in a motel. They never caught the guy, and she's just all the Vietnam era veterans love her because when she went over there, she refused to perform in the hotel. She wanted to go out in the field and be right there with the troops. And she can't stand Jane Fonda. I mean, she respects her work. You know, Jane Hanoi Jane is not liked by Connie.
Well, you know,
right.
I did a whole show with Ralph Epperson. I don't know if you're familiar with Mr. Epperson or not.
I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar.
He's been around for a while, and he's been fighting them since the 60s. And, you know, one of the things that Mr. Epperson brought out that I thought was pretty amazing, and I think a lot of the folks, at least in my generation, are not aware of, and that is that our Congress, our federal government, was aiding and comforting our enemy during the Vietnam War. We were sending aid packages to the Soviets.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
And it was funded by our Congress. There were congressmen standing up and fighting against this, and we were sending rifle cleaning kits, bandages, ball bearings, all kinds of things that we were sending to the Soviets. We were supplying the North Vietnamese, the people we were fighting.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that at all, and that's what has to be looked at, too, because from the Second World War on, or maybe Korea on, especially Vietnam since then, all these wars have been contrived where the munition manufacturers making money funding both sides of the war. So that has to be carefully looked at.
Oh, absolutely. And I think World War, you said something about the Korean War. I think if we go back and look at what occurred, even leading up to World War One. If you look from the mid-1800s forward, just from a political and military standpoint, I think you'd have to come to some of the same conclusions that I have. And I think World War One was contrived. I believe it led to the rise of Hitler. We had a huge contingent in this country that was supporting Hitler. He was Time Magazine. Man of the Year twice. had a huge contingent in this country that was supporting Hitler and socialism. You have the creation of the League of Nations. Then after World War II, you've got the failed League of Nations resulting in the United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank, the formation of the Jewish state, Israel, and, you know, the people that were behind the Zionist movement were contemporaries of Karl Marx in the 1800s. So it's no surprise to me that we've fallen into this socialist Marxist ideology that we find ourselves in today. It's been right. A long time coming, you know, and all these programs that came out as a result of World War One and World War Two, primarily World War Two and the Great Depression, you know, Social Security, unemployment, wage price controls, it's ridiculous. And I was reading today that Obama is threatening the Supreme Court now.
That's another thing that I point out, you know, that during the campaign he promised transparency back in 2008. He certainly showed us transparency with that health care bill. And I feel that was a political payback to the Kennedy, Ted Kennedy. And Jimmy Carter was whining about that. He said that he could have passed that back in his administration. What the heck has he come out of the woodwork complaining for? You know, that's past history, Jimmy.
Well, you know, Nixon, and a lot of people don't realize, Nixon is the one that gave us the first managed care with the HMOs through Kaiser. And that, I mean, that really started the ball rolling with all this junk. Not that Medicare and Medicaid didn't help in getting us to where we're at in the medical field. But I think the corporations, the corporate insurance within the medical field is largely what's responsible for driving medical costs through the roof.
Well, that article that I mentioned on HughRawlston.com, it shows how millionaires are made every single day in Washington. There's a gentleman that came into contact with this lobbyist that I exposed looking to get retractable boat cleats put onto boats as a safety item. So the lobbyist goes, well, we'll just pass a law and make it mandatory that from now on all boat manufacturers will have to have retractable boat cleats. And if you take the simplest item and just contemplate this before it became law, the automobile seatbelt, how many millionaires were made just on that one little item? And then all these pollution things that are put on and all the pork and special interests, all that has to get out of Washington. I say that all businesses, the associations should police themselves in their own areas, and when they can't handle it, yeah, then the government comes in and takes it to court for justice, but not to be dictating to the public, passing a law saying that now you have to buy this because this safety item is on here and we're going to make it mandatory or whatever. Now, that's going the way of Mother Russia, I would say.
Oh, God, yeah. You know, here in Georgia, the seatbelt law is not a law.
Really?
Really. And I had this conversation with a police officer. He's a retired officer, but he was not having any of it. He just absolutely refused to even listen to what I was telling him. And I told him, I said, man, I'll show you the letter that I wrote to Roger Garrison in a seatbelt case. And it's, you know, at the time it was a $10 fine, and they figured, who's going to fight a $10 ticket? You know,
right,
that people just pay it. And I read Title 40 under the seatbelt section of the code, and it stated quite clearly that a violation of this code section is not a violation of a law or statute of this state. Then it goes on to say it is also not a violation of any ordinance. I said, well, if it's not a violation of a law or a statute or an ordinance, then it can't be any more than a suggestion. And of course, they dropped the case, but
right.
I mean, it's plainly worded. Even an idiot like myself can read it and read between the lines. One of the cases that I fought and won here in Georgia was over an ordinance violation. I pointed out to the court that what the county board was trying or attempting to do was they were attempting to write criminal law, and they're not empowered to do so. Only the state legislature can write criminal law, and there was no corresponding state law. Therefore, their ordinance was null and void. I didn't like that either. But it was the truth, and that was the deal that got me pepper sprayed. But, you know, one of the problems that we have in this country is that we're so busy trying to live our lives, trying to pay for everything that we think that we need, all these possessions, and fund everyone else who's got their hand in the wallet, that we really don't utilize our time very well. We don't know the law. We don't understand it. We have no comprehension of it. And if we don't understand the law, then we have no hope of being able to defend ourselves in a courtroom.
That's exactly right. And I say that all these laws that they're passing can be repealed with the right people in there. And you notice that they don't subject themselves to their own laws because they have that old boy network.
You're absolutely right. And there's a guy that I used to listen to religiously online, and I've been derelict in that. His name is Randy Kelton.
Uh-huh.
And Randy Kelton does a program on the law. And there was another guy, Mark Stevens, wrote a book, Adventures in Legal Land. And I used to listen to Randy Kelton. He's out of Texas. He actually had a county clerk arrested because the clerk refused to file a court document that he was trying to file. And he's had more than one judge get up and run out of the courtroom. They don't like to be confronted with the truth. The truth scares the ever-living daylights out of these people.
Exactly. And I'm going to have to get off. I didn't mean to monopolize your show. I thank you for all the time. But I found that organization. It's called the National Foundation of Patriotism. And the website is www.foundationofpatriotism.org. And the executive director is familiar with me. Her name is Patricia Stansberry. She had a son who's a West Point graduate. He's over in Iraq for a couple of tours, too. And maybe you can do a program on there on where she is and what she's doing now on your show. There's another show that you might do a simulcast or be a guest and vice versa. It's called Soldiers for Peace International. It's a blog talk show. He's out of Coos Bay, Oregon, a former VA psychiatrist, a Dr. Richard Stagenborg, Stagenborg.
You know, that would be a good one for Robert to start a show with.
Right. And I have another friend who has a blog talk show. It's called Global Peace. He's out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, but Tim Nolan, N-O-L-A-N. But I'm going to go out of this world now a little bit. I'm going on a show called Contact on Blog Talk Radio. Leslie Mitchell Clark, who is working a lot with the UFO community, exposing things and getting, all around the world. It's quite fascinating. She's just starting a group called Contact Group International for all kinds of abductees and experiencers. There's not just what they have had happen to them, but be solution-oriented. That's what we have to be looking at and taking actions and peaceful actions coming together in our communities, because just talking about it isn't doing it. We have to do the work now.
Absolutely. Well, Hugh, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Well,
and,
thank you again for all the time, and God bless you for all the work you're doing, and we'll pull it together. It's God's will. We're here for our divine mission, and all we have to know is that we're doing what God wants us to do by aligning our hearts with Him and just being a vessel of His love for mankind, and we'll get there.
Amen. And you're welcome to come back anytime you'd like, sir. We enjoyed having you on.
Thank you very much, and God bless everyone.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Nice talking to you.
You too now. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that was a fairly interesting impromptu guest, but I'm glad that he stopped by. Certainly was
that
able to... What's that, Robert?
Well, was that his first time or his second time?
No, it's the first time he's been on. And I'm glad
really?
That, yeah, I'm glad that he stopped by. It was really worked to fill the show and some good information. I got some good web links there. And I had hoped to post a story and go over a story in the chat room about our interference in Iran over the last several decades, really leading into the Korean War, quite honestly. But I'll save that for maybe for tomorrow night's show. We've just got about 4 minutes left. And that was a very interesting conversation. I always enjoy when new people stop by and we get to hear new things and new ideas.
Absolutely. He does his stuff. He's very politically active. That's great.
Well, and I think he's spot on that, you know, we've got to change how we approach those people that we see as our adversary. Those people
right.
that whether they consciously are trying to destroy us or whether they are out of ignorance going along with something that's just not right. Rather
right.
than attacking them, we need to show them some compassion and, you know, treat them well. Just like I was telling Linda about the guy carrying the Romney sign. Those are the people I want to have conversation with. I want to talk with them and I want to get to know them because those are people that are showing a lot of courage. And those are the
right.
kind of people we want. I mean, we want those people on our side. And
they
you get a whole
on.
Lot more. You know, I got to tell you, even on the Patriot families, when I first came on, there was pretty adversarial. There was a lot of folks that did not want to hear what I had to say. And I had to tread very lightly in the information that I was putting out. And there's some that are still somewhat adversarial, and especially when it comes to, you know, Ron Paul. And that's okay. I can't get everyone to see the world the way that I do. I'm
right.
certainly, I don't want to lose any friends either. And, you know, Patriot families, the people on Patriot families truly are a family. We say that quite often, but it's really, it's the truth. It's a family. It's a very close-knit group, even though we don't always agree on everything.
Right. But we always smooth it out, though. We always have debate, and we always try to come with a solution to the problem. I think we've done that all through this past hard, or what, 7 months of putting the pieces of puzzles together, and finally, you know, figuring out the real deal. So to speak.
Absolutely, you know, when Frank started with the family and was doing his show. He was not a Ron Paul supporter. And, you know, I just kind of worked on him, and I worked on him from the angle that I knew made sense to him, and that was from the monetary aspect. Frank's
exactly.
very smart when it comes to money and the markets and how the stock and everything works. And so, you know, that was the logical avenue to expose him to Ron Paul's ideas. And I didn't convert Frank to being a Ron Paul supporter. Ron Paul did. And his ideas are what converted
right.
him. Not anything that I did. You know, it wasn't me. It's just like, you know, I hear people talking about saving souls. I'm not going to. There's nothing that I can do to convert someone to Christ. I can't, you know, I can't even lead someone to Christ. All I can do is plant that seed. It's up to them. And, you know, Christ said that were it not for God gathering us together near him, bringing us to him, we couldn't seek him out. We couldn't do it on our own. So
no. But you know, it was so interesting. And I was like, you know, I was sleeping like it was like sleeping on a ranch, Ron. I was like sleeping in a farm in Ocala. Didn't match it. I have a beautiful house. And I was sleeping upstairs. It was two-story, you know. And I woke up. I slept like a baby. It was just like, I was just like wiped out. I slept like a baby, like maybe 7 hours of straight sleep.
Oh, I thought maybe you meant you were up every 2 hours having to change your diaper.
say a word, but... you had your laugh, but the point I'm trying to make is that the TV was off, and all of a sudden, about eight thirty in the morning, the TV comes on. I didn't turn it on. The 90-year-old guy had a timer. There's this local black preacher from Ocala started preaching, right?
Yes, sir.
And the last words he said was, if you accept God in your life as your Lord and Savior, the last words he said was, the truth shall set you free. And I woke up, I said, my God, here I am, the sun shining in the window and the sunset. I had a great 7 hours worth of sleep. I just woke up and I just, oh, what a vacation.
Absolutely. And you know, he's right. The truth will set you free. And
those were his last words.
You know, in the scripture, it says that where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And
exactly.
What that means is that true freedom is found in God and the truth of God and his truth, his word. That's where true freedom lies.
Really? It's
absolutely
unbelievable. And
well,
it
Robert,
is just like, yes, sir.
We are in the archives at this point. Yep. So I am going to cut out here. I'm going to go look at some of these websites that Mr. Hugh was kind enough to direct us to. And
yes, sir.
We will see you tomorrow night.
Enjoy
your night.
Thank you for having me on.
When you go to bed tonight, embrace God. Embrace God in a prayer before you go to sleep.
I will, and I'm just going to praise Michael so to have to make him come back.
And I think you're going to sleep just as well tonight as you did on your little adventure. God bless you.
I hope you too. Take care, Ron. Bye bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, and that kind of wraps us up for this episode of Fed Up Frank. We'll see you guys tomorrow night on the Constitution Hour. God bless everybody.